Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskan. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Voskan provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Voskan, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about spirituality, about looking at life through ancient lens of Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today. This Armedox look is being brought to you by the good folks at epostle.net. That's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Hey, if you're ready, I know I am. I got so much to share with you. Let's take the next step. Okay, I warned you about it last week. I told you I was going up against an atheist. Well, you know what? It's hard to say because I hate that title, atheist. If you've been listening to Next Step for a while, you know that, hey, you know what? Everybody's got some kind of belief system. You've got some kind of belief system, and what I describe as my God might be something else for you, and what you describe as your God may be something else for me. But at the end of the day, I think people want to believe, and people do believe. It's very interesting because I went head on with a guy named Stepan Partamian. He is somebody that has his own following, has his own groupies, so to speak. And we had an interesting conversation today. So let me backtrack today, and I'll put a little link on our show notes so you can see the clever little flyer that they made for us. But I'm returning right now from Glendale Community College, where Professor Levon Marashian, he has a wonderful Armenian Studies program, a class going on over there, and he, from time to time, invites me to go and talk, and he, I think more regular, is this man named Stepan Partamian, who has its own fame. I got to tell you that. I mean, I don't know why I'm describing him to you, because I think he's very, very well known. And what he has to say is probably not as well known. And that's what I wanted to share with you today. So that's going to be a little bit of our topic right now. Of course, coming up, we have Anush with her pomegranate seeds. We got some information about what's happening. I have our song of the day. But let me just dive right into it because I'm excited, okay? I told you I've got my coffee going because I'm not excited in that sense. It's not like I hate to say this. I hate to say this, but I really thought it was going to be a little bit more challenging, okay? I mean, there was a lot of the cliche stuff, and it made me realize, and this is why I'm sharing it with you here, made me, you know what, let's back up for a moment, okay? Now, let me explain what's going on over here, because I realize I'm ahead of the game, I'm talking about it. There is an excitement, because it's the stuff that I love to do. I love to talk about what I believe. I love to share with people what this faith is. I'm so excited about it. And when there's an audience, especially a receptive audience, that makes me really excited. And it's not like I enjoy speaking to the choir. I do, with all due respect to my choir. But it's not look like that I'm looking for affirmation. But when we get a chance to speak out, especially among a group of young people in a college setting, you have this unique opportunity of sharing something very special, very sacred, and something that is misunderstood. And that's my excitement right now. Because I think that what happens in these cases, you know, everybody comes in with their with their conditions, with their prejudices, Okay, they say, okay, this is an Armenian clergyman. This is an Armenian priest. So he's going to say X, Y, and Z. And certainly the gentleman I was going up against wanted to accent many of the stereotypes of the church. And it's very interesting, and my excitement is that when you're able to present what the Christian gospel is, what the message is, and you come across and you let them know that, you know, what Jesus brought was not the standard fare. No, he connected us with a revolution that began from the beginning of time, right? The revolution called life. He gave us life, life abundantly. And guess what? The Armenian church has been providing this. And so this event, what this event was Stepan Partamian. He has a following. He is an about atheist. He gets up and he makes these shocking statements, and we have a lot of, we're familiar with the concept of shock jock, you know, they get on radio and they say things, Howard Stern, you know, like he says things, talking about people's anatomy and talking about things. Well, this guy's in that same category, same genre, but imagine now he's doing that to an Armenian community. The Armenian community has many of its old traditions, has many of its usual ways and customs, and is a little bit more modest in the sense. And so all of a sudden you come out with these shocking statements, and certainly you're going to get a following because, you know, people relate. Now, who is the following? Of course, it's a younger group. Let's be honest with it. We've all gone through that. And in teenage years, in the early adulthood, you've rebelled, you've gone up against the easy targets. And who are the easy targets? Well, establishment. Remember, anti-establishment. Who is the establishment? Well, what better icon of the establishment than the Armenian Church? Okay, it's old, it's traditional, it goes back, it has all of the trappings, until you start looking beyond it. And this is one of the reasons why I got into the Armenian Church, was because I realized there was so much value there, but I realized that it wasn't being presented. So if we can present the message of the Armenian Church, I mean, think about this for a moment, the most prolific theologian of the Armenian Church, Saint Nerse Shnorhali. How many people have bothered to read, not even his writings, read one of his hymns or unfold one of his hymns? You know, I've shared with you last week in particular about Aysor Anjar. Just take one or two of those verses and unfold them and see what this man has found. The spirit that is there. And all of a sudden you realize what they're teaching you as Christianity is really something that people have put together. It's like, yeah, sometimes we're worthy of that stereotype because most people have believed in this. The idea of a Santa Claus kind of God, you know, who rewards you with, if you're good, he gives you good toys. And if you're bad, he smites you. He smacks you on the head. You know, and there's all of these concepts that come through the ages, through the traditions, through the myths and the mythologies. And we never stop and think that maybe there is another dimension. Wow, do I sound like Twilight Zone? Well, maybe that's what it is. It's being able to see Christianity differently. And certainly orthodoxy gives you that opportunity, especially in the West. Especially in the West. In fact, today I shared with him this idea that within the Orthodox tradition, within Armenian Orthodoxy, it's a holistic approach to God. So that when you come to church, it's all of your senses are engaged in that, in God, in the worship, in the moment. And anyway, it was an interesting afternoon. Stepan Partamian, he was the person on the other side of the podium. I was on one side, and the audience was maybe about 60, I'd say maybe about 80 young people, mostly students at Glendale Community College, who had come to listen. And the original topic was going to be the role of the Armenian Church in the community, which kind of got expanded, and I'm glad it did, because first of all, they called me and they said, we'd like you to debate Stepan. Now, Stepan and I, we go back. We've known each other for about 15 years. And I have to be honest with you. I do have a great deal of respect for this man. Despite his beliefs, I know what this man is capable of doing. And as far as goodness and helping the community. And he really is somebody that I do have a deep respect for. Despite the belief system, and even that I'm telling you is questionable, because I think deep down there really aren't any atheists. Just what do you believe in? Everybody believes in something, okay? But there are things that really upset me about him, and one of them is the mockery. And you can't go on mocking people when you haven't taken the time to explore what it is that you're mocking. I mean, you wanna call Christianity this a lazy man's way to riches, I was going to say. Lazy man's way to paradise, okay? Basically, you sit around and you don't do much of anything, and then God rewards you with this and that. And I said, where is it written like that? Where have you read this? I don't see it. It's not in the Christianity that I've been taught. It's not in the Christianity that we preach. In fact, quite the opposite. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, pick up your cross. What? Pick up your cross, yeah. That implies that there's going to be some suffering. That implies that it's not going to be an easy road. It means that there's going to be some struggles that you have to deal with. But you know what? It's not about the afterlife that's in front of you. It's about doing the right thing. And this is the point where we're not reaching out to people. Because, yes, I understand the power. I understand the power of rewards and rewarding. Okay? If you're a parent, you understand that, right? You reward the good behavior. You can punish bad behavior, but it's probably not as effective as rewarding good behavior. Okay? And somewhere along the way, mostly from the Jewish traditions, we get this idea of rewards. Not only by tradition, I mean not only in the teachings, but you look at those stories, which you read about, especially in the Old Testament. You know, look at those stories. It's all about, well, you know, be patient, and in 40 years, in 400 years, whatever the time period God is going to give you, God is going to give. And you know what? It creeps over into Christianity. But Jesus wasn't about a reward system. He was talking about doing the right thing at that moment. Okay, I mean, this is really what the struggle was with Judas, right? Judas thought that this was a political messiah. He was coming here. Jesus was coming here to set at liberty the oppressed people. Not realizing that that liberty was greater than just this physical liberty, but it was the liberty of the soul. And so they were let down in many ways. The zealots were let down. That word zeal comes from the zealots. These zealots were excited. There was going to be the liberation of Israel from the tyranny of the oppressor, right? And Jesus was the one who was going to lead them out. Well, Jesus said, hey, wait a minute. I happen to be here amongst you, but it's not about liberating people, because the guy you call an enemy is also my child. It's also somebody that I care about. In fact, when his servant is hurting, I hurt. I reach out and I help them. And over, Jesus broke down these barriers. Now, interestingly enough, in today's discussion with Stepan, he was using that and saying that because of that, because of no barriers, because in Christ we are all one, that we don't have this opportunity to set ourselves up as Armenians. Now, here's the interesting thing, okay? But you know what? We're going to take a break right now. I just got signaled. We got to take a little break. We're going to play the song of the day. And then we're going to come back and we're talking about, well, what happens when a priest and this proclaimed atheist go at it. What are the concepts that come out about, well, about faith, identity, who we are, and the entire thing that we talk about all the time. But I promise you, a lot of good stuff coming up. Okay, song of the day. I'm going to pick out a very special one. Guess what? Guess who produced this song? It is a church song. It is produced by Stepan Partamian. This is off of his Winds of Passion album, The Divine Liturgy According to Komidas Vartabed. This song, Orkney the Astvats. From the Winds of Passion Divine Liturgy CD set. There will be a link on our show notes today, as there is every week, so you can check out the good music. Okay, did I confuse you? I said, yeah. It was produced by Stepan Partamian. Yeah, don't look confused. I know, yes, the same person I'm talking about. The one that you say. That he says he's an atheist, right? Okay, he has produced this beautiful CD of Armenian hymns. Gomidas Vartabed, the Holy Divine Liturgy. And inside of it, okay, if you want to just take for musical value, but inside the liner notes, there's explanation of the Divine Liturgy. How's this coming to us now? Okay, am I confusing you? Yeah, well, There's many dimensions to this, okay? So you got this guy who was telling you he's an atheist, but then he's putting out this kind of stuff. Things that really speak to your heart, speak to your soul. You're realizing that, you know, it is a conundrum. It is this puzzle that's out there. So we're standing in this classroom across from one another at different podiums, and we're now going to be talking, and of course, like I said, we know each other, and there is a genuine respect for one another. And so he starts off by talking about, well, how could you be a Christian and an Armenian at the same time? By being a Christian, it means that you are a... He didn't say it in these words, but he implied that by being a Christian, you are a citizen of the world, and therefore you cannot be a citizen of Armenia. Not the physical place, but basically of that culture. And so somebody asked him, somebody challenged him, what is Armenian identity? For him, it was defined by culture. To which I have to respond, and this is, again, I know we have a lot of listeners who are non-Armenian, but the response is something that it just doesn't pertain to Armenia. It's about finding identity of who you are. At the end of the day, we have these basic questions that everyone goes through at some point in their life, right? Where did I come from? Who am I? What do I belong to? What's this life about? Where am I going with this life? Okay, there's some basic questions that religion very nicely answers. Sometimes it doesn't. And then, of course, you know, we had the usual people standing up and, what about religion has caused more wars and religion? You know, we don't need religion. Yeah, okay, that's true, too. There's a lot of wars that have been fought. But you got to think about all the hospitals. You know, next time you have a heart attack, don't go over to St. Joseph's. Next time your kidneys are on the blink, don't go to Adventist Hospital. Next time you want an education and you want to be a lawyer, don't go to Loyola Marymount University. Because these are all churches. They're based on religious principles, okay? To which their argument that they threw back at me today was, well, these are institutions that are making money. Are using nonprofit status. I don't believe that. I believe that you are driven, you know, definitely. I do believe that money is a driving force and a factor, but I don't believe that that's why, let's say, a LaSalle or a Loyola introduced the idea of education or their type of education. St. Baptist LaSalle, I'm talking about, of course. And so it was just an interesting hour that we spent together, one podium to the next, going back and forth. And what was really exciting about it was that we had an opportunity to present what Christianity is. Because so many times people's understanding and idea of Christianity is based on what Hollywood gives them. By this, think about this for a moment. Okay, what are the images of Christianity that you have? What are the images of religion that you have? I mean, we think of God in the old man figure. Well, where do we get that figure from? Well, it's given to us by iconography. Yes, there are iconography of the Son, very little of the Father in heaven. But you can do that iconography in your head just by virtue of the name, Father, our Father. Well, what is the Father? And especially if you're talking about 2,000-year-old tradition, okay? You've got a pretty old man over there sitting there, right? And the Father is old. Images of a lot of, I want to say, Judaic images, far less Christian images. And I want to say this because I think that this is going to be the cornerstone of what Armadoxy is about. And we really need to focus in on this. We are given many images that follow the Judaic patterns in the sense that they come to us from Old Testament imagery. Okay, battles being fought, about rivers and oceans and seas being opened up, about arks landing on mountains, about people smiting the other one, about little guys up against big ones and slingshots, and people seeing dreams and being thrown into dungeons and stuff like this. And when you move over to New Testament, what do you get? You get a teaching of Jesus Christ. Okay? And if you really approach it in a very healthy manner, you understand that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each of the evangelists presented a story from a different vantage point. It's much like when you're sitting, let's suppose you're sitting actually across from me, and there's four of you, and you're going to record Father Voskan talking into this microphone. Now, the one of you that's on my left will see one profile. One on my right will see another profile. That you who are sitting right in front of me, dead in front of me, will see both of my eyes, will see me talking into this microphone. And the one sitting behind me will see the back of my head, maybe a little bald spot, maybe looking at and seeing that, you know, am I hitting that microphone, but not really seeing much else. Now, each four of you that are sitting across from me has an understanding of Father Voskan doing his Apostle Next Step podcast, right? And each of you has a unique perspective by which you're looking at me and gauging me. So you're saying that, okay, he's talking and I can't see where his other eye is focused in, but I can see this one side because I'm only on this one side, okay? Or I'm in the back. I can't see what he's looking at as he's talking to me. But I'll tell you something. His hair, man, the way it's placed over there. I mean, he must have used some kind of gel or mousse, something like that. I mean, everybody's going to have their angle. Now, think about it in this sense. Well, I talked about geography. Each four of those people sitting across from me are in a unique geographical position. Now, suppose they needed to peddle me to somebody else. I hate to use that word for the Gospels, but you get the idea. I'm just trying to bring it down to some very concrete terms. Suppose they needed to present me to a following that they had. So likewise, they would use the advantage of their perspective, where they are in life. So let's suppose that one of them is going to be talking. He's one of the scientists. Actually, it's kind of funny because just before I went to GCC, I stopped in at one of our members. Do a shout out to Yelena. She's runs the chemistry department over there, you know, and she's a faculty member at the chemistry department. So I was in there. Now and she did a very courteous thing of introducing me to the faculty members that were within the office at that moment. Now, let's suppose that she wants to convince them that what I have, this brand Armadox, is something worth following. Well, what do you think she's going to play on? She's going to say that, you know, Father Voskin in his message today referred to the prime numbers, referred to the 13 billion year tradition and everything. She's going to highlight those areas that will, quote unquote, sell me to that audience. While another one may be talking to a group of botanists over there, want them to understand that, hey, you know what? This Armadox is something really important because it connects us to a very natural God, a God that can be found in nature and within each of us. What do you think he or she's going to highlight? It's going to highlight a different portion of the message. Now, I'm talking in very broad terms and in very vulgar terms. Vulgar in the sense that I'm trying to describe what these people would try to do to get my message out if my message was that worthy of it. When it comes to Jesus, you've got this pure message that's out there. But each of the evangelists, whether it was Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, each of them wanted to talk to a different audience. Whereas Luke may have been talking to one group of people, Matthew was certainly, he was talking to a Jewish audience. And definitely when you read John, in the beginning was the Word was with God. He talks about Logos. Well, you know, you have to kind of understand some Greek. So obviously there were some Greeks in his following, in the people that he was writing to. So each of these evangelists are presenting the story of Jesus in a very unique method, from a unique perspective, a unique standpoint. And for some of them, they may draw from Jewish tradition. They may take those Judaic ideas. But the bottom line was Jesus brought in a fresh approach, a fresh understanding of what Christ is, what Christ consciousness can be, and who God is, so that it transcends any ethnic background. And this is what was brought up during this meeting today. And it was a very valid point. You know, it says, okay, well, if Jesus is advocating or teaching that we are all one and we are all one in God, that we are all his children, then where do we get the Armenian identity? How do we preserve Armenian identity? And that's exactly the point. You don't. You don't. So all of a sudden, we found a commonality. Because I agree, that is not the mission of the church. The mission is not to preserve Armenian identity. And so all of a sudden, we're arguing two things, because he's coming across, well, how could you preserve Armenian identity if you're going to talk about Christianity? No, you can't. And then his next question was, well, then why call it the Armenian Church? Well, it came. It was revealed. It came to the Armenian people. It was revealed in a unique set of circumstances throughout the centuries, from the time of of Thaddeus and Bartholomew to St. Gregory the Illuminator, and then through Mestre Maastricht, and throughout the centuries. It has been revealed and comes to us with a very unique background, okay? But the purpose of that, the purpose of that faith was not to preserve Armenian identity. It was to preach the gospel to the people. Now, what happens is that in 1915, you have this genocide. You have a created diaspora. And within that diaspora, what do you have? You have the need to preserve ethnic identity. I told you one of the greatest things when I got to Rwanda back in 2006, I told you when I went to Rwanda 10 years after their genocide, for me it was like going to Armenia in 1925. What would it be like? Who would I see? And I get to Rwanda and then you see some of the problems that have been created just by population growth within the 10 years that they can't sustain because of this weak economy, because of lack of resources and everything. And then right away in your head, you think, well, okay, well, you need to talk about birth control. How dare you? How dare you? How can you talk to a group of people that have gone through genocide about birth control? You can't. It's not in the, there's no vocabulary for it. You can't discuss it. They've been annihilated. These people have been annihilated. And so all you can do is talk about how do you build up Rwanda. Well, the same thing back in the early 20th century. After the genocide of the Armenian people, okay, they've created a diaspora. And within this diaspora, there is a need to build up that nation. And certainly the institution that comes every place that they've gone, every time Armenians have gone someplace, they've built churches. And those churches have tragically had this thrown upon them to preserve the national identity. By virtue of their language skills, being able to speak the language. And so you have this unique situation. We call it the Armenian Church. And there is this understanding that it preserves nationalism, national aspirations. Why? Well, it's been thrown into that. But now we come 100 years later after that genocide, and you have these churches throughout the world. Here in America in particular, where we have a lot of the westernization going on too, you live in a pluralistic society where that man has that opportunity to go to whatever faith he wants, not just Christian church, but whatever faith he wants, and at the same time call himself an Armenian. This was unheard of in a homogeneous environment, right? When you're sitting in Armenia, pre-genocide, okay, everybody's Armenian, you're Christian, you're different from everybody else, religion-wise too. Over here, you know, you have Western civilization and tells you, hey, you're a free being, pick what you want. And certainly people will choose different options. And there are people who say, okay, I'm following this tradition, but I feel myself to be Armenian. And so Armenian identity, or any identity, is that question. And this is what came up today, okay? How can we call people Armenian if they're not Christian? And this was his beef. Okay, he's standing in front of me and he's saying that, okay, he's not Christian. People will assume that he is not Armenian, or have thrown that at him, that he's not Armenian. Well, you know, there's always going to be people. But here's the answer. The answer is not that we need to insist that people be a Christian. And I shared this with you a couple of years ago when I returned from Armenia. I was involved in a very important meeting back in 2009. It was a conference of clergy. And important in the sense that it was taking place in Armenia and they were tackling these same issues in Armenia. Because up until then, this had been a diasporan problem, identity. In Armenian, you figured everybody's Armenian, right? Everybody's Armenian. Okay, but you're getting into that thing right now that you have people who are marrying outside of the ethnic boundaries, marrying outside of the religious boundaries. And I'll never forget His Holiness Karekin II, the Catholicos. He addressed that assembly after quite a lively debate of what constitutes an Armenian. And you had the full gamut. People who said, all you need to do is if you speak the language, which if you've watched YouTube videos, you know that there's even parrots that speak Armenian language, right? So I doubt that that was taken too seriously. But there are still people who take that language issue seriously. But people talked about that. They talked about being able to read, being able to communicate. And His Holiness got up at that point and he said that, "To me, an Armenian is he who professes to be an Armenian." Plain and simple. It's simplistic, but it works. If you feel like you're Armenian, that's enough. Now, how you define that, how you act out that Armenianism, is between you and your conscience, right? I can't stand there and be a judge over you to say, "Oh, you're not Armenian enough." And this is what came up today in this discussion. It kept coming up over and over and over again. People saying, "Well, people say," or "What about those people who don't speak?" And again, we got into this issue of language and everything like that. Hey, folks, you know what? It's all part of the game. There is language issues. There is faith issues. Okay, don't fool yourself about that. And faith within Armenian Orthodoxy. Okay, it's not enough to just say, "I'm a Christian," but to be able to engage. Now, it's like, I don't know if you're familiar with the theme park, but it's been the conversation piece in our family because graduation's coming up and we have grad night at Disneyland, okay? Disneyland, this is this magic kingdom where your fantasies come true. In a sense, much like the Armenian church where you go in there, and I don't want to say your fantasies come true, but it is... outside of normal reality, right? You got everything going on outside. You walk in through the doors, all of a sudden it's solemn. There's a uniqueness, a reverence that takes place. You smell the incense burning. You see visually the lights and everything. Well, Disneyland's very much like that too. You're driving on the freeway and all of a sudden you get on and there it is, Disneyland, the Magic Kingdom. And everything is a fantasy. It's all fantasy around you. And you get lost in there. Well, imagine going to Disneyland and not availing yourself to all of the opportunities. Imagine going there and there's some beautiful rides, the Pirates of the Caribbean, not going on there. Have you still been to Disneyland? Absolutely. You're still at Disneyland. But you didn't go on the Pirates of the Caribbean. So you didn't get the full experience. You got what I'm saying? You didn't get the full experience. Now, you want to take advantage of the full experience, you need to immerse yourself. And you need to, and this was my final message to the kids that were assembled, to the people that were assembled. You know, don't take my word for it. Don't take this other man's word for it. Believe in yourself. Believe in your heart. Believe in your mind. You have that ability. I mean, we had a young kid get up and he bashed Hariman Heidig because he went to Berlin to take care of the Armenian needs, the Armenian wants. There is such a small group of people, Armenians, and we're not leveraging the power that we have, the power of love. Instead, we're still believing that other people are going to solve our situations. And so it's easy. Let's bash the church. Let's bash Hariman Heidig. Let's bash these people because they're the problems for our ills. We need to take control of our own problems. And to do that, you need to give some time to it. You need to be disciplined. In Armenia, for instance, over the last couple months, there's been election, and I've felt very comfortable not talking about it. I don't feel like it's within the scope of this podcast about what we're doing. Even at our church, I feel very awkward talking about the politics of it because it is really a political issue. But there's an issue right now where there's been unfair practices in the election and who's the rightful president. And the opposition party candidate, he went out on a hunger strike. And so today when I challenged the people there and I said that, you know, for the African Americans here, they were able to take the words of Jesus Christ, the nonviolent resistance, and they were able to find the civil rights. Somebody said, and I think it may have even been Mr. Partamin who turned to me and he said, "Well, what about Rafi? You know, he was the opposition candidate. How about him? You know, he tried to do it nonviolently, but there was no support from the church." There was no support from the people because the people weren't ready. Don't forget, Martin Luther King, when he was leading the civil rights movement, it wasn't like he got up in front of the people and he said, okay, folks, this is what you need to do. The Bible says this. Love your enemies and let's do it. No, there was a discipline. Those protesters, those people who were following Dr. King, they were disciplined. They would go to classes. They would learn the teachings of Jesus. They would learn the principles expounded by Gandhi. They would talk about nonviolent resistance as a way of living, so that when it came time for Dr. King to stand up and said, we're going up to the mountaintop, there was a following of people who had this general understanding, and we're not there. Okay, you can't talk about, well, okay, Christianity says this, but we're not getting it. No, it's not somebody else's battle. It's not Christ's battle. It's not God's battle. It's your battle. And we need to take responsibility for our own battles. And that's, I think, the point that comes out in all of this. Anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to try to get my dear friends from the Western Diocese studio of Vahin Aram. They heard that I was going to be speaking at with Stepan Partami, and they brought in their cameras. And hopefully in the next couple of days we'll have a video that we could put up on YouTube, and you could check it out and hear about what happened over there. It was a nice afternoon, and it certainly gave us a lot to think about. I was very thankful to the ASA, the Armenian Student Association, that had invited me, and to Professor Marashlian who put it all together. It was a wonderful afternoon. I'm going to take a little break right now, listen to Anush with her pomegranate seeds. I'll be back in a minute.
Thoughts on fasting. It's a typical Tuesday. I got up, got ready for work, watered the garden. I fed the kitties, went to the kitchen, rinsed my sprouts, and then I grabbed my lunch bag and started putting in food for the day. Something for breakfast at my desk, some fruit, something for lunch, some carrots for a snack, and then I remembered, oh yeah, it's Tuesday, I'm fasting today. I am fasting today and every Tuesday until July 14 in solidarity and remembrance of our brothers and sisters in Darfur. It's been 10 years since the violence has escalated. It's hard to believe for me, but I bet it feels like forever for them. As a granddaughter of genocide survivors, I heard similar stories of horror and displacement from my grandmothers. And while there's nothing I can do about our 98-year-old Armenian genocide, I can work towards stopping one that is going on today in Darfur. And so I have joined this 100-day tag team fast. It makes me realize how much I take food for granted. We have food in the fridge. Even when I open it and I don't see anything that I really want, there's still food there. And I'm spoiled. There's food in the cupboard. When I get to work, there's food there too, in the kitchen and in our work area. Not only food, but water and four kinds of coffee and hot cocoa and tea. We're able to eat when we're hungry. We're able to eat when we're not hungry. Fasting helps me understand that life is not fair. Not everyone has what I have. And as a practicing Christian, it is commanded of me to do something about it. Not to look down and say, oh, I'm so fortunate that I'm not like them, but to ask, why don't they have it? How can I share what I have with them? How can I feel their pain? How can I help? In the movie It's a Wonderful Life, it is said that an angel gets its wings every time you hear a bell ring. Well, I have a different version of that. When I'm fasting, every time my stomach growls, it's a reminder that tens of thousands of people are without food. They don't have the choice that I do to end the fast. The growling is their reality. Fasting is a very powerful tool. Fasting helps me to move myself into a more spiritual realm of faith and power by putting aside my physical desire for food. We put our faith first above our physical needs, and with fasting comes prayer. A prayer for healing and focus, that God heal our hearts to understand the needs of others before ourselves. That we have the strength to push for justice, keep our focus strong and our hearts compassionate to the needs of others, and also for a realization that we all belong to one another. I also pray for the courage to tell the story, get the word out, and remain vigilant in the cause. Join me and many others. Let's be the change we want to see in the world. If you would like to join the fast, visit www.stopgenocidenow.org. This is Anush, wishing you a pomegranate day, filled with hope and compassion, and ripe with possibilities.
Thank you, Anush, for a beautiful blog and an incredible message, one that I think everyone has to listen to and react to. Of course, I say these are blogs. Anush writes these blogs, and they are on her blog page. We have a link to them on our show notes, and she reads them for the next step every week. And, I guess it's a little bit easier to listen to in the car rather than trying to read those small little letters. But what's really easy is to get involved. And I think this is the point of this message. She talks about it, and I love the imagery she put in there from one of my favorite movies, It's a Wonderful Life. Yes, when the stomach growls, it tells you certain things, that there are people that don't have that choice. Now, I have to tell you, and I'm gonna let you in on this, because I feel like maybe if you hear that I'm doing it too, you can get involved too. You could say, oh, if Father Voss can do it, I can do it. But I'm going to be fasting as well. I started this week, every Tuesday as well, with Anush. We're fasting for Darfur, and I invite you, as you're fasting, to commit a small amount of money for that day, whatever you've saved on your food, or maybe get it in somebody to sponsor you, and then donate it to a couple different places. If you go on the website that Anush referred to, you'll get over there, and you'll hear, you could read about the fasting and how to make a difference. And there's a couple specific places that you can help out with that bring relief to the refugees of the genocide. And you know, whenever I do this, I always think, like, what if somebody had done this in 1915? What if somebody had cared enough? Well, I could live with what ifs. I think I had to listen to too many what ifs today. But it doesn't get you anywhere. But what if we don't do this right now? There's going to be people that die. There are going to be people that are going to be affected by this unless we can do something about it. I'm calling on you, as Anush did, beautiful blog. Pass along this blog, get on our page, take the note, or send the audio file of this. Tell people about it. Tell them that we have to do something, and here is a concrete way of bringing your participation to what's going on in Darfur. This is really what it's all about. It's about extending the Christian message beyond the Sunday service and making it a part of your life right now. That's what we're all about. Here's Susie to tell you how you can get involved. And I think you're going to hear a nice pick-me-up in her voice today.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the fifth year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vatkin calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie. Did I tell you? I tell you guys? Did you hear it, I should ask. Okay, did you hear it in her voice? Yeah. Don't get embarrassed over there. Okay, I'll stop it, okay? The important thing is her message, okay? The message. She's talking about getting involved with the apostle. And, you know, I felt that today in addressing the young people at the college and talking about these things. It's so important that we have a proper understanding, and that begins with definitions. You know, we need to define. And what we were talking about throughout today's show, it's about basically the mission statement. What is the mission statement of the church? Is it to preserve ethnic identity? Is it to bring the kingdom of heaven closer to people? And there are others still who will argue that, you know, it's all about reciting Bible passages. It's about finding out what happened to Adam and Eve and what happened to Moses. Well, we are very clear on what our mission is as Armodoxy today, Armenian Orthodoxy today. What is that mission? And that mission is really to open the heart. In fact, when you get a chance to watch this debate, quote unquote debate, this conversation with Stepan Partamian, at the very end, I said, Stepan, what are we coming down to? The basic difference between us is you're asking us to engage with our mind alone, and I'm saying it's a matter of mind and heart. There's a synchronization between that mind and heart, and that is something we can never forget, that there is a beauty in this universe. There is a wonder in life, and you're standing there in awe. And it inspires you, and it inspires via the heart. It's a matter of coordinating that heart and that mind. That's what we do over here. That's what the apostle is about, is getting out. When we talk about apostolic evangelism, it's what the apostles were about. Getting the message of Christ out. Not about ancient stories. Not about warfare. Not about Adam and Eve. But talking about Christ today. The Christ light coming to you. The Christ message coming to you. And that message is one about love. I mean, invariably, you know, you get there today and it happened again. Somebody comes up to you and says, well, Jesus says that he is the only way to the Father. What does that mean? Does that mean that people who are not Christians cannot go to God? And I explained to them that, yeah, that's what it sounds like, unless you have the advantage of viewing it through Armodoxy glasses. Because Saint Nersa Schnorrali, who is the theologian par excellence, gave us the primer, gave us the key that makes it all sense. He says, the name of love is Jesus. Now put that into the equation. The only way to the Father, the only way to God, the only way to eternity is via love. Now, do you agree with that? I agree with that. And you know what? I agree with Jesus is the only way, because he's the incarnation of that love. But I think everybody will agree about the idea that it is through love that you find that eternity. You find that oneness, that uniqueness, that celebration with God eternal. You know, I gave you a lot to think about today. I'm just going to leave it at that. We've been talking all day. There's been so much going on. Hey, I promise you, as soon as we get this video, I'll talk with my good friends over at the diocese. As soon as we get this video up of today's conversation, we'll put it up on the internet. I want to invite you to join us at Epostle. Speaking of the diocese, I just finished a 2-year program called In Step with Christ. All of the episodes are available on our website, on our YouTube channel. That's Armodoxy YouTube channel. And beginning this Sunday, we are starting a new series called Armenian Christianity Today. And that will be available on US Armenia on the television network. And it will be on, it'll be archived on our YouTube channel as well. It's called Armenian Christianity Today. I hope you enjoy it, and I would love to hear your comments about it. It's part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission. Please pray for it. Hey, we are at the end of today's show. I want to thank you for joining us. I know. I was just like all over. I'm kind of excited. We had a chance to do something that I know a lot of people have been writing to me and said, hey, you guys looked so good a few years ago. Would you be open to a conversation with Stepan Partamian? And I got to tell you, it was a fun one, and I hope we'll have other opportunities. Hey, join us on the net. We are at epostle.net. Very easy to remember. That's apostle with an E, an apostolic evangelism for an electronic universe. And while I'm saying that, join us at Facebook where you'll find all kinds of stuff. You'll find us on our page, St. Peter Armenian Church in Glendale. We have an e-apostle page, the newest activity, Dative Outreach. We are going to have our first women's luncheon this Saturday morning. And that will be taking place in Glendale at 11 o'clock. A lot of good stuff happening. Get on our website, read the press release. If you're not in the area in Glendale, a lot of ways that you could connect with us. Dative Outreach, an important project, domestic violence. I've spoken about it. Need your prayers on that one specifically, okay? Dative Outreach. Dative in Armenian means to give wings. That's what we want to do. Sunsash. Let me end it with today's Sunsash because I thought it was beautiful. It spoke to me in a very special way. Sunsash is free for the taking. It is on our website. You can also find it at sunsash.blogspot.com. Seven Deadly Sins. This is by Mahatma Gandhi. The seven deadly sins are wealth without work, pleasure without conscience, science without humanity, knowledge without character, politics without principle, commerce without morality, worship without sacrifice. Nice way to end it today. Hey, for the wonderful crew who put this all together for us, I want to thank you for joining us, and do meet us on the web throughout the week. For Susie, our producer, for Vahir, our webman, Anush with her pomegranate seeds, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.